So I want to recap just briefly on this whole Meltdown Inspector bug issue. What it was, what did we do about it, where is it kind of standing now in terms of a status and all of those things. So in the beginning, let's say it was like roughly January 3rd, what had happened was that the IT community at large became aware of the Spectre slash Meltdown bug. And it's kind of grouped together because these are two hardware level vulnerabilities that there is effectively no detection method for. That's really the problem, is that because there's no detection method for it, your computer could actually be getting hacked actively by these, and there's no known detection. There is a mitigation approach, yes, but not an active detection. So your only approach is really just to get in there and get the mitigation put into place. So the world at large really became aware of this roundabout time of January 3rd, 2018. And if you look at the whole timeline of it, it was June 2017 that the hardware manufacturers, as well as the large operating system software manufacturers such as Microsoft, were made aware by the individuals who discovered this security vulnerability. So think about that for a second. We have these computers, and some security researchers figure out about this vulnerability in June of 2017, and it isn't until January 3rd, 2018, so a full 6 months later, that it even becomes public knowledge that this thing even exists and that there is a plan being put in place for mitigation. So, in terms of what actually happened in people response pattern wise, Microsoft actually did a great job of dev testing and putting out these fixes for Meltdown and Spectre. They did a great job of writing documentation for the right audience being IT, qualified IT personnel. A lot of this documentation, you just can't have an expectation that it is intended to be ingested by an average everyday person. And that's why there's this whole thing that exists that's called the channel. The channel is effectively a deep and wide support mechanism that is worldwide, actually. And so if you went to Chile as an example, there would be a Microsoft partner there that you'd be able to get support from. And I think it's really important that you understand how support for virtually everything is actually supposed to work. It's not possible from a logistic standpoint or any all kinds of other standpoints. It's not possible for Microsoft to provide direct support to end users. It's just not possible. Even if you're an organization with 5,000 employees, they are typically not going to be providing you direct support anyways. Once you get up to the point where you've got 13,000 users and you're spending, $100,000 a year or more on, software, then yes, you can get what's called an enterprise agreement, and you get a certain number of hours built into that. Now, Microsoft partners, they pay fees on an annual basis to get a certain number of support hours direct with Microsoft that they can use for whatever they feel appropriate to use them for. And of course, Quality Plus Consulting is a Microsoft partner, and we also have those sorts of agreements. Now, that means that we can use those hours. Either we can solve the problems ourselves, or if we need escalation support, then we're able to contact Microsoft directly and get escalation support. Now, in the past 20 years, I might have had to escalate something to Microsoft three times, three or four times maybe. And I would say that in those cases, at least three quarters of those cases were situations where some other IT personnel, either with a former service IT service provider or who was an employee at a client, ended up causing the problem. And so what I mean by that is it wasn't some sort of a failure that happened because, a problem with the product or something like that. It was because some idiot human being went and did a configuration that caused problems, and I so frequently see that. I mean, it's just probably the number one thing that I see is unqualified personnel making configurations, and then all it does is end up causing problems for everyone that has to deal with that configuration or be serviced by it. So anyways, the channel exists as a support mechanism. So Microsoft communicated out to the channel and they wrote some very good articles that, as I said, were intended to be ingested by people like myself, and they were very well written. And through the normal dev process that we do here at QPC, I was able to very quickly write some scripts and develop methodologies to get this Meltdown and Spectre bug fix rolled out to clients. In fact, for all of our managed clients, it was actually rolled out same day. So let's just go over very briefly what was included in this. You have a firmware update, which is generally going to come in the form of a BIOS update, which is going to be provided by the manufacturer. So in the circumstance of servers, you have to check with your manufacturer. Now, one of the things that I've always talked about is that you do not want to be utilizing things like Nobilis servers. I mean, why anybody would waste their money on a Nobilis piece of equipment is really just truly beyond my level of understanding. I guess they don't care about keeping it maintained. And actually, that is exactly what I've seen. Anytime I've ever seen a Nobilis server or a Nobilis PC deployed anywhere, it's not maintained. There's no firmware updates ever applied to the thing the entire life cycle that it's there. It's this whole delusionary methodology that says it's, installation and then just forget it. It's the paradigm used by people who don't care about security, don't care about preventative maintenance, and just figure they want their vision of the world is the lowest total cost of ownership is achieved through don't ever change the oil on your car is effectively that paradigm. Like, well, we've never had any problems. Well, I would argue you absolutely have no idea whether or not you've actually got an active data compromise going on right now. Because remember what I said in the beginning of this show, Meltdown and Spectre have no inspection. There's no way, really, for any security product that you might have on your computer to detect that the problem is occurring. I talked to what seems to be just an endless quantity of individuals that think that they don't have any issues because they're not getting alerts. So these are the same people that have no network layer security. And their endpoint protection product, if I even want to call it that, has no logging. It has no logging, no reporting, no logging. Now, you can't have HIPAA compliance or PCI compliance or just common sense compliance at all if you're not inspecting and logging and reporting. Okay, so if people don't have a SIM logging system and if they're fundamentally using systems that don't log anything, so therefore you can't do any reporting on it. Well, gee, yeah, sure, I guess you could have a perception that, well, yeah, I don't have any problems because you just don't know. In the meantime, your stuff is actively hacked. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that every single time I've gone into an environment that was like that, and then you put different systems in place that actually now start to have visibility into the processes that are going on, whether it be at the network layer or at the endpoint layer. Oh, lo and behold, yes, we find out that there's Trojans, there's viruses, there's, active hack attempts, a variety of things like that. Just bad, bad to-do. All right, so Microsoft did a great job of that, and then I was on this whole Nobilis tack because in contrast, Dell did an absolutely phenomenal job. So first off, they put out a fully updated, and they committed to doing a fully updated a page on their website for servers. They're like, okay, here's the servers, here's all of our server models, and this is the BIOS update that is going to patch and fix and mitigate Spectre and Meltdown. And then they would actually show out there a little bit of timeline as to when that was going to be there. And to their credit, the most popular servers, those BIOS updates were literally available the Monday after the January 3rd. So less than 7 days passed, and Dell already had firmware updates available for those most popular servers. And this is why you want to use things like Dell rather than Nobilis. Now, they also put out a page on their website for the PCs and laptops, you know, and showed this is the version of the BIOS that is going to patch this, right? And then, so what you could do is just check your computer and say, okay, does my computer have that? So the I'm going to now run down for you the actual what you need to do in order to patch this. Number one, you need to actually have a BIOS update installed on your computer that fixes this. Now, if you have a computer that the manufacturer considers past end of life, they will not put any effort into doing a BIOS update for that system that patches it. You know what? I don't blame them. Manufacturers cannot provide endless quantities of free support for everything and for perpetuity. I mean, this is exactly why if you're still using Windows XP, or frankly, Windows 7 end of support was just announced. So if you're still using Windows 7, you need to really go have your head examined, because not only is that operating system not even remotely secure for today's threats, it's ridiculous. I got everybody off of Windows 7 at least 4 years ago, maybe longer. So, you know, I mean, no, just manufacturers can't do that. It's just ridiculous. So if you have some sort of device that's older than 5 years, other than a fully supported server that's still under warranty support contract, you're probably not going to get a BIOS update for that. So that device fundamentally can never actually be fully patched now. So you need to consider getting a different device. Now, the answer is not to go run out to Best Buy and go get a different piece of equipment, because how do you have any assurances that the equipment that they have there is actually supported by the manufacturer with these patches? Well, you don't. So the rule of thumb that you need to be following is only ever buy technological equipment that is designed to support business. Consumer devices are always going to be deemed as, gee, we don't really need security, and they are not going to have as long of a support life cycle, and they very well may just not have firmware updates for them. It's kind of like the whole IoT thing, or the consumer grade wireless router paradigm. You know, they put out this consumer grade wireless router, and the thing's maximum lifespan is really supposed to be 3 years. So the manufacturer is effectively saying, yeah, well, we'll do, you know, minimal firmware updates for it for 3 years, but because it's not really a business device, we're not going to be real serious about patching various issues with it. So whether or not you get any firmware updates for that consumer-grade wireless router throughout its lifetime is, you know, a big question mark. But I can tell you this, absolutely you're not getting any updates for it past its stated manufacturing life cycle. This happens to also be true with regards to, you know, iOS phones. So your iPhone, your iPad, your Android devices, it's all the same animal. You know, these are factors that you have to be aware of. Because fundamentally, if those firmware updates are not going to be released by the manufacturer, you're never going to be able to apply these security bug fixes, these security patches. It's just not going to happen. It's impossible. All right, so putting the BIOS update on there is step number one. Step number two is you have to verify that the endpoint security agent that you're using is actually compatible with the Meltdown and Spectre operating system patch. Because otherwise you could end up with a dead brick computer on, you know, it would be bad. So, again, kudos to the top endpoint protection security product manufacturer worldwide, Trend Micro. I literally got emails from them on January 3rd, where they were totally out in front of this problem with documentation saying exactly what needed to be done, with documentation saying this and this and this and this and this product. These are all fully patched. And this is one of the huge, enormous reasons why I so strongly recommend everybody to stop using endpoint protection agents that rely upon a management console or an update process that has anything to do with an on-premise component that they have to manage. I mean, it's just a recipe for bad doo-doo. So if we look in contrast, if we look at Trend Micro's Worry-Free Business Security Services product, this is the server component of that is all cloud hosted. So first off, now Trend is able to push these patches, and then your agents would have just automatically patched and updated. Yay, yippee. So you would have already had, and in fact, everyone that had that product by January 3rd already had a fully patched, compliant security agent. And then furthermore, on that same topic, Trend recently put out a DLP functionality and anti-exploit protection in that same agent as part of the standard fee. So this is another reason why you want to be utilizing a security product that has that kind of a paradigm, because they constantly are adding, I mean, several times per year, they are adding significant new security agent enhancement. So security agent capabilities, and these are capabilities that are in a direct response to the type of capabilities you need to have to mitigate the threats that exist today. So if you're using a different type of a security product or a security product that functions based upon a paradigm that has nothing, you know, that is, oh, well, I've got this server on premise and I have to patch it and I have to babysit it and blah, blah, blah. Nothing good is coming from that, believe me. So first off, all of these people that have these less than optimal security agent products, they didn't even have any idea whether or not they could, you know, install the Meltdown bug fix and not end up with a bricked computer. So you do the BIOS update first, then you have to verify that your security agent is compliant. Then you need to get a registry key deployed to your computer. And for the average everyday person, I don't know how the heck you'd do that. I really don't know. I mean, that's way above the pay grade of the vast majority of people that own computers and use them. So this fundamentally comes down to, do you have a relationship with someone who is committed to staying on top of these various security topics and then providing support to you? So once this registry key is in place, there are then additional registry keys that have to be deployed, which are operating system specific. They are, associated with whether it's a workstation, is it a server? And, these are the operating system mitigations. They're effectively some registry keys. And those mitigations become live once an operating system patch has now been installed. So again, rolling it down from the top, you have the BIOS update that has to be installed. Then there is a whole set of registry keys that have to be done only if you know that your security agent is compliant with this and compatible. Otherwise, you could end up with a bricked computer. And then you have to actually install the patch itself. Now, this is where it really got interesting. So I think, as I told you, I was doing all this dev testing, and this new patch from Microsoft for the various operating systems, and again, only the newer operating systems had patches deployed immediately, Right? So if you're still using these old, ancient, antiquated, but and barely supported operating systems, you are not going to get the kind of service that people who have maintained utilization of a more modern operating system are going to get. Okay? So beware of using old, ancient, dead stuff. So you are now going to go get this patch. And you run Windows Update and you're like, well, wait a second here. It's not installing. And this is actually what happened to tons and tons and tons of people. They're like, well, there is no patch. I've run Windows Update and there's nothing showing up. Yes, well, it's just not that simple. What I found was that in managed environments where people were relying upon group policy that said, Windows Update was on a release candidate deployment, or maybe they didn't have GPO Central Store implemented with a full Windows Update policy correctly configured. Well, no, you were never going to see that patch. So that's a fundamental problem there. And I even saw issues with standalone computers, just standalone workstations, standalone PCs and laptops, where they also would not see the Windows Update patch because whoever had set up that computer had not gone into gpedit.msc and actually configured a sophisticated Windows Update policy. So, wow. I mean, this just so much demonstrates the fact that there is a chasm of difference, a Grand Canyon-sized difference between computers that are set up by professionals like myself and my team who know what we're doing, who are ahead of all of these issues, versus computers that, you either set up yourself or, you hired some PC technician to do. So maybe your apps and everything got all installed, but unless these are security people who then support large environments, they are just not, I'm not calling them stupid or something like that. That's just a matter of they don't have that experience. They don't have that data bank to pull from to know that, yes, these are additional things that must be done as part of a standard PC setup so that you don't have these problems. And then now, if somebody was smart enough to actually have what's called an RMM, a remote management and monitoring tool that also has patch management services included in it, such as Kaseya, then Kaseya has that ability to deploy that patch. In fact, Kaseya, when properly managed, also has the ability to seamlessly, cleanly, in the background, in all silent ways, install all of those registry keys. And so that's actually what we ended up doing for all of the managed clients is they were all patched very, very, very quickly. So not only were all the registry keys deployed out there, we knew that their endpoint security agent was fully patched and compatible up to date. And we were able to even deploy BIOS updates via Kaseya, and then certainly able to deploy that particular Windows update that was associated with the Meltdown Inspector bug fix. And then, one step further from that, I wrote a script and, of course, then fully tested it and then deployed it and had it end up doing a reporting mechanism back. So, with these managed systems, we have a completely 100% verifiable mechanism with a quality assurance component that says, yes, these machines are absolutely fully patched. Now, you really can't do that effectively with any level of automation unless those computers are managed. And I'll go one step further than that. There are a ton of consulting firms that are in the managed services business that don't do that. Now, the reason I know this is because every time I talk to distributors, when I'm talking distributors, there are several companies that are in the business of being distributors for the information technology industry. And these distributors have people that just specifically work in the security product space inside their company. So these people that work in that security product space, they then get to know all of the partners and resellers that they work with as part of the distribution channel. Remember, I was talking about the channel and how it provides this support mechanism. What I hear fairly consistently from the distributors is that what we are doing here at QPC with regards to response time and proactive management, and that is fairly rare in the IT consulting industry, that they're not hearing about other firms actually being on top of the game like that. Now, I think that I'm not surprised by that at all. And I think that in a lot of cases, the people that work for large corporations that say have 10 to, 10,000 or more employees, those companies are typically the ones that have people on staff that have similar skill sets to mine. And so they are on top of the game. They get out there right away. Now, maybe their deployment schedule is not as aggressive because they've got more, red tape and bureaucracy and change windows to go through than what we do. And that's absolutely true. But I think that by and large, most of those companies, those IT people are intending to be very ahead of the game. Now, we can certainly talk about organizations like Equifax that clearly just do not install patches in a timely fashion, which is exactly how they got hacked. Now, one other really interesting tidbit about this whole Spectre meltdown bug issue is that there were several very interesting interviews that had been done with current and former NSA, CIA, and government officials that were in the, the technology space that had been interviewed around this time. And what they were all chiming in on and actually saying was that this Spectre and Meltdown bug was an intentional backdoor that the government had the chip manufacturers install starting about 20 years ago. Isn't that an interesting thing? So here, if we just take them at face value, and there was at least five of them that came out and publicly said this. If we take that as face value, and it's clearly not, that there's nothing to say that what they're saying is unusual or whatever, because here we have, the CIA had their own massive hacking toolkit that they couldn't even keep from being hacked. So now that's all exposed all over the place, and that's being used to hack endless quantities of people. And we know that the NSA has their own hacking team, and all of this. So to think that they have, and the FBI is constantly complaining and harping on about how they need to have backdoors into encryption and stuff like that. In fact, the new FBI director, as of January 11th, came out and said, he gave this whole speech about how, well, the FBI has to have all these backdoors into encryption, which is completely bogus. That is just wrong. They already have totalitarian, tyrannical capabilities. They don't need to have backdoors into encryption, and backdoors into encryption helps no one. It helps no one. So, because of that, I pretty much have this viewpoint that, yeah, it's highly probable that actually the government did go to the chip manufacturers and twist their arm and make them put Spectre and Meltdown in these chips as a backdoor. So just think about that for a little bit. How many hundreds of millions of dollars of compliance patching? I mean, we're probably into the billions by now on this. I mean, literally, talk about every computing device manufacturer in the last 20 years is vulnerable to this thing and it has to be patched. And it's all because some politicians or some bureaucrats got together and decided that they needed to be tyrants and have control. Just think about that for a second. All right, well, that's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, February Science Night at Parkside features Dr. Greg Richards with his presentation Flu Frenzy on Wednesday, February 14th, discussing the history of flu outbreaks, vaccines, contagion, and immunity. The event at 7 p.m. in the cinema is free and open to the public.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring Milwaukee-based La Tarte Bakery, offering cookies, sweetbreads, pies, bars, and more. The market is open at the Rohde Center for the Arts, Saturdays from 10 until 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus, hosting Grief Share, a 13-week